Welcome and hello. It's a joy to once again be gathering in this space with you as we move into a time of worship, to hear God's word, to be renewed in song and prayer. If you are tuning in for the first time and you are looking for a place to call your church family, a place to walk through your own spiritual journey, Parkway Hills would love for you to give us a call, reach out to us, and we'd love to be in conversation with you about the ministries of our congregation and how we can be partners together along this journey of faith. My name is Reverend Dawn Douglas Flowers, and I serve at Parkway Hills United Methodist Church in Madison, Mississippi, and I just give thanks that I have this space to be with you today. If you do hear some noise, the mowers showed up while we were recording, so you may hear some background noise. They're mowing the yard at the campus of our church, so hopefully it's not a disturbance, but if that's what you hear, if you hear something, that's what it is. But now, let us prepare our hearts and our minds to worship God this day. Let us pray. Wondrous vine grower, you make all things new in water and word, feeding your people with love, joy, and peace. Lead us today and every day to the font of new beginnings. Teach us to love what you have commanded and to prune what does not nourish your creation. In the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, one God, now and forever. Amen. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments, and I abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I am giving you these commands so that you may love one another. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. There was a Bible study that I was reading on this passage in John, and the author said, "I'm not much of a gardener, but I can prune roses, and I know why I have to." He said, "A rose bush left to itself will get straggly and tangled and grow in on itself. It will produce quite a lot of not so good roses rather than a smaller number of splendid ones. It will quite literally get in its own light. It needs help to grow in the right direction and to the right end. So you prune it to stop it from wasting its energy and being unproductive. You cut out particularly the parts of the plant that are growing inwards and getting tangled up." He says, "You encourage the shoots that are growing outwards toward the light. You prune the rose," in other words, "to help it be its true self." He goes on to say, "From what I understand, the same is true for a vine." Now, I find all of this very interesting, that these plants, not just rose bushes, but vines and all sorts of other plants, to be their best selves, to produce their best blooms, they need help. And not just the natural stuff like sun and water and good soil, they need something else, someone else, to literally come and physically cut back branches. It's not that these plants can't survive without this happening, but that they are better, their best self, they make their best blooms only with help. Now, I'm not much of a gardener either. I do have some zinnias, but I put some seed in the ground and I tend to water them, and they're doing pretty well. But please don't ask me to take care of any sort of plant that might need just even a little bit of attention. Because in my mind, plants should just be able to grow. Like, I should be able to take the seeds, put them into the ground, and they do their thing. That's how it should work, right? They're plants. This is what they do. But apparently not. Even for plants to be their best selves, they need to be connected to something that helps them grow. And I just find all of this so interesting, that there doesn't seem to be any part of how our world functions that isn't interconnected, that makes it on its own. No, it seems that everything is connected and affected, for good or for bad, by something else. I'm sure you could have heard, you heard the passage and you can kind of see where I'm going with this, but no, I'm not going to take us all the way back through our Better Together series. But I do find it so interesting and telling that the image Jesus uses in this particular I am statement is vine and branches and pruning. This reminder of our connection, this reminder that if we want to be the best versions of ourselves, not only do we need pruning, which is a scary thought in and of itself, but we need one another. And not just one another, we need the earth, the flowers, the trees, the birds, the fish, and they need us. And we need Jesus. As one theologian said, there is no such thing as a solitary Christian. I mean, just think about what Jesus was doing when he said these words. I mean, he was seated at a table with friends, his disciples. He was with others. And just a reminder about what's going on in the life of Jesus and his friends when he makes this statement. John 15 is part of the farewell discourses found in John chapter 13 through 17. Jesus is near the end of his ministry and the end of his life. He has made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem with palm branches waving and people proclaiming Hosanna. Now he's gathered with his disciples for the Passover meal. He sits at table with them. He washes their feet. He gives them a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. He tells Peter that Peter will betray him and deny him three times. And then Jesus shares a great deal with them about what is to come, about who he is, about what the disciples can expect next. And he prays for them. All of this right before he is arrested. This, at this table with friends, this is where Jesus says, "Abide in me as I abide in you. I am the vine, you are the branches." The worst thing the disciples could possibly think of is coming. Jesus will be taken from them, crucified, and buried. But Jesus hopes to give them another story. No matter what, no matter what happens, you may abide in me and I abide in you. I am the vine, you are the branches. You are part of something bigger than you. This is no solitary faith. You have a connection, a place to belong, a family. And this connection, this family, well, it will aid you in bringing out the best version of you. You will be blessed to be a blessing. A couple of years ago, I did a sermon series on that word abide. Now, it's an old word, not really used in contemporary language anymore, but a word for me that holds a meaning that I haven't been able to find with another word taking its place. Abide. It's a relational word, a commitment to know and to be known. It signifies a deep, deep connection. And as we have already said, a place to belong, a family. One of my favorite albums on my phone is Ella Fitzgerald's Christmas album from 1967. I know, you can feel free to go ahead and make fun of me if you like. It has 27 songs. The first 14 are Christmas carols, but the last 13 are some of the classic hymns. Some of them I didn't even know till I purchased this. I play it often enough that my kids, well, they make a little bit of fun of it when I start it, and they'll sing some of the lines in their best old-timey hymn impression, especially my middle child, Davis. But I do catch them singing certain lines to themselves as they're going about their day. Now, most of the time, I jump past the Christmas carols, saving those for the appropriate season, and I start it playing at the first hymn of the album, which is Abide With Me. So it gets played a lot, which is fine with me, because as I said, there's something about that word abide that just offers me a peace and a comfort and a calm that I can't quite explain. abide with me. Now the hymn, Abide With Me, was written by Henry Francis Light in 1847. Henry was a vicar in the fishing village of Lower Brixham, Devonshire, England, for 23 years. He developed a lung condition that in his early 50s worsened to tuberculosis. Now, at the age of 54, he walked into the pulpit with a lot of difficulty, had problems preaching that day, and he ended up preaching what would be his last sermon. He had planned to take a therapeutic holiday in Italy, hopefully get some much-needed rest and recuperation. The night before he left, he was walking along the coastline in prayer, and then he went to his room, where one story says an hour later, he emerged with the words to abide with me. Another story says he found it at the bottom of his desk as he was packing to go on his trip, and it had been written a quarter of a century earlier. Now, probably there's pieces of both that are true. So he leaves for Italy, stopping over in France, where he revises Abide With Me a bit, and it's there that his lungs give out. There was another clergy, Reverend Manning of Chichester, who happened to be staying in the same hotel, and he attended him. His last words were reportedly peace and joy. Abide With Me was sung for the first time at his memorial service. There's a peace and a calm and a comfort in this hymn because I believe the writer understood the peace and joy of simply being connected to something that was bigger than he was. Something that was bigger than his lung problem. Something that was bigger than death. And when I think of the enormity of the John 15 passage, I mean, all of that talk about bearing fruit, not bearing fruit, about being pruned, about throwing branches into the fire, well, it's a passage that can get a little heavy until I remember the heart of it. Is this prayer of Jesus with and for his friends. Abide in me as I abide in you. Reverend Rob Fuqua, well, he said it this way. Our job, he says, is to be a branch. Be the branch, nothing more, nothing less. As we abide in the love of Jesus, we aren't called to reinvent the wheel. We don't have to save the world. We don't even have to create the tree. We just put one foot in front of the other. We move one day at a time. And we cling to the one who is the source of our power and our hope. I am the vine. You are the branches. You are part of something bigger than you. This is no solitary faith. You have a connection, a place to belong, a family. And this connection, this family, well, it will aid you in bringing out the best version of you. You will be blessed to be a blessing. This is what I want all of us to hold on to as we move into a new week, as we once again dive into one of the statement that I am statements of Jesus. This promise of being held in love by a God who is love. There's a prayer that shows up every now and then in one of my devotionals that says, I pause for a moment. And I think of the love and the grace that God showers on me. I am created in the image and likeness of God. I am God's dwelling place. I am God's dwelling place. That's a pretty powerful statement for us to make. As we come to a close today, I just want us to pause for a moment and to hold that. I am God's dwelling place. We have some who will be sharing Abide With Me in song. And I hope that as you hear this song, you will use this as a prayer time, a space to remember that in this moment, in this space, we believe in a Savior who abides. So just breathe in, breathe out, close your eyes if you like, but be mindful of the moment, of the promise. Take a few moments this day to rest in the presence of the one who is the help of the helpless. In life, in death, O Lord, abide in me. God of presence, we give thanks that you are here in this moment with us. We give thanks that we are united as a body of Christ in prayer. But God, we come to you today confessing that we know at times we have not been the best versions of ourselves. We have not borne the fruits of the Spirit. We have not loved others as you have loved us. We denied the promises of baptism, and we have cut ourselves off from you. We come to you today saying, forgive us, restore us, that we may abide in your love and live out of your mercy. God, we give thanks that you hear us, you receive our confessions and prayers, and we give thanks for your Holy Spirit, whose work at creation continues in us. Through Christ Jesus, you have shown your love for this earth that you have made. We pray that all the world may know your power and goodness. You are the word of life. Reveal the wonder of your world to all people. Show us anew what lives around us, over us, beneath us, within us. And may you enliven the church with your Spirit, that we may honor your earth, all the vines, all the branches, with responsible care. Almighty God, we ask this day that you uphold our sisters and brothers who endure disasters caused by weather, war, famine, sickness, or greed. May you strengthen all who are in peril. Especially, we pray for the people who were affected by Hurricane Laura and Hurricane Sally. You are our refuge and strength, a very present help in times of trouble, and we trust in your abiding presence. God, you are the giver of all good things. May you bring trust and sympathy to the nations of the world. May peacemakers reign wherever there is conflict. May you give wisdom to leaders and hope to the poor. God, you are our good healer. We pray for all who are in need of comfort. May you comfort those who mourn. May you uphold those who are sick or holding vigil or awaiting words of hope, especially those that we name silently or aloud wherever we may be in your presence. God, who makes us one, hear our prayer. Trusting in your mercy, we commend to you all those that we have named and those whose needs are known only to you. In the name of your Son, Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, and who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. I hope this has been a time for you where you have been reminded of the abiding presence who is our God, that you have felt God's Spirit and comfort and peace with you. Again, if you are looking for a church home to live out your own spiritual journey, we would love for you to give us a call. Parkway Hills friends, as always, please, the best way to stay connected is to check in with our newsletter each Wednesday. You can subscribe to receive it on Wednesdays, or you can just go to our website and find the most recent one. But please take a look at that every week. It's the best way to see what all is going on within the life of our church. And as always, if this space has been meaningful for you, if you have felt the abiding presence of love that is our God who is love, then I hope you will reach out and give so that we can continue to offer this space and to share God's love with our community and with our world. But now, receive these words as we make our way into a new week. May you indeed go out with joy, securely abiding as branches of the true vine. May you go and tell the story of faith that is given to you by the one who never lets you go. May you seek out those who abound with sacred questions and be ready to answer a mystery with love. May we go forth to love and serve our Lord together.